Hi, everyone. Welcome to Newlywed Cast, only available on Wedding Podcast Network. I'm Robert Allen.
I'm Holly Ehrlich.
And we've got a great Newlywed Cast couple to bring to you today, all the way from, I think it's the Great White North in Canada. So, Holly, why don't you talk a little bit about our couple that we're going to interview today?
Well, Kate and Rose planned a fabulous gay wedding and topiary fest. And I think everybody's going to be in a treat today because they have some great tips for brides, same sex or otherwise. They have their whole story about their pledges of love and the vendors they used. And they had an incredible cabaret, which I'm really looking forward to them telling you about. But I'm looking forward to introducing you to Kate and Rose so they can share their love story and wedding planning experience with you all.
So Kate and Rose, thank you so much for joining us here on the Newlywed Cast.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Okay, so everyone knows who's who. Kate, say hi.
Hi.
Okay, that's Kate. And Rose?
Hi.
You're both in Canada. Where are you both situated right now? Where are you sitting as we speak?
Well, we're in Vancouver, so we're on the west coast of Canada. And we are in our home office at the big table, kind of across each from each other, like a partner desk.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's like how that's Robert like and I are right sitting now. Right now on the East Coast in the States.
Right.
This is so
yeah, we're really glad to have you here. And it was interesting as I was reviewing all of the things that you did for your wedding, and we're going to go into lots of detail. Did it like take over everything for you? Because, I mean, you put so much into it, and it's so obvious, and it'll all come to life. Did everything else stop during the wedding planning?
No, everything else just got really, really busy. And I don't know if we slept for like 8 months. We own a business together. We have a social media marketing consultancy. And Rosemary is also a playwright. And so she was doing that. We were running our business and trying to plan a wedding that actually took place in Toronto. And it was just a really busy 8 months.
Well, so why don't we start?
Well, you're right. Before we go into the whole thing, we want to, you know, take us back to the beginning and talk a little bit about how you guys met.
Well, I always get to tell this part of the story because I'm the one who found Kate. I found her online, and I actually it's kind of a funny story. A friend of mine and I had decided that we had spent too long being single. And we were going to try the online dating thing. We had actually picked a date to try. It was in July, the 27th, I think we were going to start online dating. And so a few months before that, I thought I'd just go online and just see what I, you know, had to look forward to in July. And not much, as it turned out. I read a lot of profiles online, and it was all about people who love cats and who love camping. And I'm allergic to cats, and I hate camping. And I thought, this isn't going to work out for me. And then I got to Kate's profile, and it was the last one I happened to look at that night. And so I clicked on it because I thought, what the heck? And her first sort of little write-up was about what book she was reading. And she said that every summer she can't help herself, but she has to reread the book Microsurfs by Douglas Copeland, which is very geeky. And I thought, oh my God, I love Microsurfs. And I suddenly had a chill, and I was blushing and kind of shaking a little bit at, you know, 1 a.m. by myself reading this person's profile on the computer. And so I finished reading it, and I thought, well, that's the girl for me. I guess I should let her know that that I'm ready for love. So I spent a whole day writing my own profile for this site, which I was not on. And, of course, I kind of tweaked it a little bit to match her profile so that she would know how compatible we were. And I sent it off and crossed my fingers and hoped for the best. And as it turns out, I think, as they say, the rest is history.
Well, wait, so no, we got to fill in some of the blanks there. Okay, because, and I think that's great because the two of you sound so great, really, together.
But isn't it cool, like, what was happening in your lives, like, right before that? Were you both just kind of, like, dating? And so were you in relationships?
Well, I had broken up from a long-term relationship. It was a 5-year relationship before that, and I think I had been single maybe for about 6 or 8 months, I guess, when I got Rose's email. And Rose.
But it's pretty amazing, though, when you know, right? Like, so many times, like, you know, you hear about that, but it's really true, right? Like, when you get that that connection. You make that connection. You really.
But that
really
was only a connection. Wait a second. But it's still only a connection online. Now, where were you, Kate? Were you both in Canada at the time? Because it's online. You could be anywhere in the world. So where were you both?
Yeah, we were actually both in Toronto, which was so kind of funny.
How long after your meeting online did you meet in person?
Well, it actually took a really long time because we were we emailed back and forth for about, I guess, 6 weeks or so before meeting. But we actually, like, I guess technically, you know, if buildings had been burning, we could have met. But we were both so busy. Kate was working, you know, crazy hours at her agency, and I was working full time, and I was doing a play, and I was moving, and then she went on vacation for 10 days. And so we didn't have a chance to actually connect in person before. So it took 6 weeks before we actually got together. And then we'd actually set a date to meet for our historic first meeting. And it was a couple of days after my show was premiering at the Toronto Fringe Festival. And Kate sent me an email, and she goes, I think I have to come see your show tonight. It's, you know, and I said, well, it's opening night. It's a bad night for us to meet because I'm going to be a freak about, you know, everything right. else going on. And sure. I want to, you know, devote my full attention to you. And she's like, well, I'm coming anyway because I think she wanted to make sure I didn't suck. So... Which is fair, you know, in retrospect. But so she came to see the show and we didn't meet. I saw her. I knew it was her, but she didn't see me. But she heard me laughing. We talked on the phone and stuff. So it was this quite, you know, tantalizing experience to be in the same room with this person and not actually make contact.
So was the chemistry, you know, via the copy online? Obviously, you're probably both fantastic writers and, you know, good with the written word and obviously both have a love of books. So now you meet in person. Was the chemistry there?
Yeah, I think so. It was like we had a really great email correspondence. Like it was quite extensive and just very kind of charming, like the 19th century writers who used to, you know, couples who used to write great letters to each other. And that, you know, really went a long way to, I think, ensuring that the chemistry was there in person. We had our first date, and we actually went to a concert at an outdoor music garden in Toronto. And so it was, you know, just a nice kind of, summer day, I guess. And we walked down to the concert, and we just got along like gangbusters when we first met. And it was just real kind of sweet.
Who said I love you first?
Oh, I think Kate did, but only because she was provoked. She was provoked by me. It was very whirlwind romance, you know. They make jokes about the, you know, how lesbians go on two dates and move in with each other, and that's actually kind of what happened. We had met in person once, and then 2 days later, I basically, you know, came over and never left.
So here it is, there. You're living together, and who decided to propose to who after how long?
Well, we had been talking about getting married, and it was a couple of years. Is that right? I'm the older of the two of us, and my memory is just going.
Well, we definitely didn't go the traditional. Well, who knows what's traditional these days anyway, I suppose. But when you see it in films, when, you know, one person is kind of cooking up this idea to propose to the other and then springs it on them. I mean, we didn't really at all go that route. It was quite a discussion about whether or not we were going to get married, and if we did, where we were going to do that, and how would that be. And but I think it was quite clear that we would at some time want to make some kind of lifetime commitment, because we, in our hearts, I think we already had. So, yeah. So I think we started talking about it, but I thought Kate's a real lover of gadgets and just cannot never get enough of them. And so when the video iPod came out, I thought it would be nice for me to, she treats me to a lot of things and I accept them, but I thought it would be nice for me to return the favor finally. So I thought it might be a nice treat for her birthday, which is in November, to get her a video iPod, the 80 gig version, not Whoa. The cheapo 30 gig, right?
That's really love.
I knew she'd ask. And I had it engraved. And it said, marry me on it.
I love that.
Not a question mark, though, because I didn't want to leave any room for error.
Right.
It was an exclamation point. It was more of a directive.
Right. Like, and you can't return those iPods once they're engraved.
That's right. It's a real commitment, Robert.
Absolutely.
But wait a second. How did she even know to look on the back?
Of course you look on the back.
Because you got to make sure it says it has an apple.
Front, you look on the back.
You got to make sure it's the 80 gig version.
Yeah,
that's how
exactly.
you find out. It's on the back.
My wife is not a geek.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, which one doesn't belong in Sesame Street? I guess that's
you,
me.
Ollie.
But that's okay. I embrace that. But anyways, no. Okay, so great. So here it is. You've got this great iPod engraved Marry Me proposal that Rose, you gave to Kate, right?
That's right. So I wrapped it up nicely and I gave it to her. And so she burst into tears before she even knew I was proposing on it because she was so excited about the iPod. And then turned it over, and yeah, it was really sweet. I felt like a million bucks.
Kate, did you love it? Did you love it?
Oh, I so loved it. And it was like, ooh, I've been proposed to, and it's such a geeky proposal. I can't
right.
wait to blog about it.
All right, so here it is. Everything Wheels Are in Motion. Now we're really, you know, we've got the next chapter of wedding plans to come.
Did you set a date right away, or was it just like you were just kind of starting the planning process?
Well, we were starting the planning process right after that. So that was the end of November. And we actually had in our heads a late September date. But then we checked around with the family, and it turns out there was potentially another wedding in the family in September.
Uh-huh.
So we ended up pushing two weddings in September. And so we ended up pushing back our date to mid-November. So it was almost a year later.
Oh, okay.
Knowing that you're a playwright now, it makes total sense seeing... It's called Kate and Rose's Gay Wedding Cabaret and Topiary Festival. Tell us all about that. Tell us about that vision, your dream wedding. I mean, tell us more about this theme.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a same-sex marriage. And so same-sex marriage is legal in Canada. But when you kind of look at the traditional non-same-sex wedding ceremony, it's still a little kind of hierarchical, it's still a little patriarchal, and I just really couldn't see us kind of flouncing down the aisle in big white dresses. Now, some people still want to do that, and that's fine, but it really didn't make a lot of sense for us. And I think even if we were straight, it wouldn't have made a lot of sense for us. So, and to me, a wedding is like my undergraduate major is actually in ritual theory. So I've thought a lot about ritual over my life. And we wanted to have something that, you know, encouraged participation so that people would have a shared experience. So it's not like they went and were just spectators at a wedding. They actually participated and had something to talk about with, you know, their friends and their family who were at the wedding and just really engaged with it. So I think over you know a month or so we kind of came up with this idea of the cabaret. And we're really blessed with such talented friends. Like Rosemary is a playwright. She's a director. She's done some acting. I have, you know, friends who are musicians, and we just have a wonderful group of friends who are so talented, and we thought, let's see if we can get them involved in our wedding as well and make it a real experience.
Well, I have to say, that is a great, it's meaningful, and interactivity is very important today. And I think that everybody listening should keep this in mind, whether it be this type of wedding that was incredibly fun and participative. But I think that engaging your guests is what it's about, and really including your family and friends as part of the celebration is what it's about. And I think that everybody has to keep that in mind, because those are going to be the most memorable events.
And I think what's important, you bring up such a great point. You know, you kind of looked at the standard snapshot of what, you know, society says is a wedding. And you just didn't really like that. And you decided to just do your own thing. And I think that, you know, is really what it should be about. It should be reflective of you guys as a couple, and rather trying to fit into someone else's mold, you know, make your own mold, you know?
I guess attire was a big, like, if you said you didn't want to come down in the white gowns, you know, so attire had a big part of this celebration. So tell us a little bit about the attire, and did you have bridal party? Did you have a bridal party?
Oh, we did. We, it was hilariously, it was all men. All-male bridal party. I had my best man, Paul, and my brother as well, and Kate's brother, Andrew, and our friend Daniel, who was the officiant as well. He married us, and our MC, Sean. And that's just kind of how it played out. We realized we had this five-guy attendant group, and so we dressed them all up in beautiful kilts, because everyone in the bridal party should be wearing a skirt, obviously.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so it was actually, they were very fetching, weren't they? In their
oh, they looked great.
They were beautiful. So yeah, so they had their kilts and their sort of long sleeve black shirts, and they're all very good looking fellows, and yeah, so they were quite dashing attendants for us.
And then the two of you, what did you both wear?
We both wore long dresses, and this is one of the things that we kind of waited a little too long on to plan. Plus, we had a bit of a snafu. We were going to get them made so that we, you know, because we're plus size ladies, and we wanted to have kind of exactly what we wanted. So we waited a little longer than we probably should have to engage a dressmaker, but we met with her and talked with her, and she seemed to be able to do what we wanted. But then she went over to, was it Poland?
Poland, yeah.
For a month, and to be with her father, who was unfortunately very, very ill, and she was scheduled to come back, and she sent us an email. She said, I don't think I'm coming back for a while, because I want to be here, you know, when my father passes away, but I'll still do your dresses. And we thought, oh, that's a lot of pressure for this poor woman who's in Poland with her father. So we ended up actually buying from a store online. And it worked out, I think, pretty well. We didn't get exactly what we wanted, but it was still very colorful. And yeah, so it was good. But that would be, I think, you know, advice number one. You can never start planning your attire too early.
Now, so. Where did you get married? I mean, I guess that would be, you know, how'd you decide on that?
Well, we knew we wanted to get married in Toronto, I think, because most of our friends were still there. We just moved to Vancouver a couple of years ago. So we wanted to get married there because our friends are artists and poor, and they would not come to Vancouver. So we thought, we'll go to Toronto. And also because I think a lot of my family is here in the West. And so we thought, if we get married in Vancouver, it's just going to be, you know, 50 members of my family and none of our friends. So we ended up choosing Toronto as a good kind of venue. And then we went through a lot of different choices for venue, because obviously we weren't going to get married in a church. But we also, because we were doing the cabaret, we needed somewhere that had a stage and that could have, you know, lighting and that sort of thing. So we ran around to a few places, but we eventually settled on a place called the Great Hall in Toronto, which is it's an old Victorian building, and it's got a stage, and they do weddings and events and all that sort of thing there. And it ended up being a really perfect choice of venue. They had a kitchen and all that kind of thing, and they had some vendors that they already would recommend, caterers and stuff. So it actually took a lot of the extra sort of legwork out when they, you know, when your venue already has has preferred vendors that they almost make you use. Then you just have right. to choose among four, and you don't have to go shopping around. So yeah, so Toronto, the Great Hall.
And how many guests were invited?
120, I think we ended up with.
That's yeah, I think we invited 150 and got 123 or something. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. And then I have to say, tell us a little bit about the invitation, because I'll tell you, you had a lot of a great ensemble of paper, you know, and for your guests to know what was going on. So did you do anything online with your guests, or was, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Surprisingly, we actually didn't do an online invitation, just because we have some relatives who are older and who aren't maybe into the online thing so much. And so we did a little paper invitation, but instead of having just like the one card where it says, you know, so and so and so and so is getting married, show up here, we did a little what can you expect at the wedding kind of fold out card. So it was actually a little it was a little 8-page booklet that had information about, you know, what do you wear to a gay wedding. And it was funny, because a lot of people that we talked to, because we told them we were doing the whole cabaret idea, and then they started to think that, oh, maybe it was kind of wacky, and so I should, you know, dress up like in a clown outfit. And it's like, no, it's serious. We're making a lifetime commitment, but it's just in a different kind of style.
Right.
So the program, or the little invitation booklet, kind of laid that out, along with, you know, we weren't doing a sit-down dinner. We wanted to tell people that ahead of time. So we're not doing a sit-down dinner. If you get angry hungry, you should probably eat a little bit beforehand, but there will be substantial hors d'oeuvres and munchies afterwards. So just to kind of provide a lot of information. Plus, we have friends who have children, and we weren't intending to have children at the wedding. So we found a way to phrase that kind of in a funny yet serious way, which is like, you know, please don't bring your children. But it was still, you know, it was more fun, I think, than that. So, yeah, just the whole idea of to kind of give people enough information, enough context around what will be happening, what they could expect from the evening.
And what was everyone's reaction to all of that?
Oh, they loved it. I got phone call after phone call from my family and my aunts. People posted pictures of the invite on their blogs. I think it was just it's really helpful because you know the timing, you know what you should be wearing. I think it saved us a lot of work in the end as well because we had a map on the back that showed where you can park near the venue, and we had a website address for the hotel where people could stay, and we had our registry on there and stuff like that. So it was really the reaction was super. I think it was because it was so much information in one little packet, and it was cute as well, so people enjoy that.
You mentioned your registry, because I think that's I know you both said you were a little older when you got married, right? About how old were you both when you got married?
I was 32.
So I was 37.
Okay. And so you know, because I was reading a little bit when I was doing my little homework before we got online, is with the regards to your registry, you said, you know, you're just coming as a gift enough, which I think was so special. But then you did say, should you want to contribute, you know, to certain things. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the mindset behind that with the registry?
Well, I really think, first of all, too, because we were getting married in Toronto and a lot of people would still have to travel, we thought it is really amazing when people take the time to get on a plane or get in the car and come and show up and be there with you on that day. I think that's really pretty incredible. And I think, you know, it costs money. So we were delighted and honored that people would come and wear their beautiful dresses and be there. But of course, yeah, people like to be generous and give gifts, but we've lived together for a long time and we have furniture and all the kind of things that one needs when setting up house. And so we thought what we'd really like for our wedding gift was a honeymoon. Because I don't think ever taken a real vacation. So we registered online. It was this great service called buyourhoneymoon.com. And you can set up a registry just like you would with, with China or towels, where you can say, you know, you set up your, we're going to take this day trip while we're in Mexico and it costs this much money and this is what we're going to do on it. And then people can buy you that trip for $75 or something like that. So people feel like they've contributed to this great experience that you're having. They can pay with PayPal or credit card or whatever.
And did the guests? And did they? Did a lot of people do that? So did you get your honeymoon?
Like, oh, absolutely.
Totally paid for by your guests?
Almost totally paid for, actually.
Yeah, 90%, yeah.
And where did you go?
Cancun.
Oh, I'm skipping ahead. Oh, how lovely. Did you go right after your wedding?
Yes. Okay. For 2 weeks, and it was fantastic.
So fabulous. What resources were the best ones, you know, did you find? Were they online? Were they through recommendations?
I mean, besides Wedding Podcast Network.
Obviously.
Of course. It was a combination of things, I think. Like, I did a lot of searching online for, we wrote our own vows. We each did a pledge to each other, which, you know, we're both writers, so that was pretty easy to do. But we did want to have kind of a formal aspect to the ceremony, so I did some research online about that. But then little things that we wanted to do. Some recommendations came from friends. Some things we found pictures of on Flickr and said, "Hey, can we reproduce this?"
Like, what did you find on Flickr?
Well, so for example, we're figuring out centerpieces. The way the cabaret was set up, we had half audience seating, and so like just like you were in the audience at a movie theater, and then half tables, and those were reserved for family and special guests. So we wanted to have centerpieces for those tables, and this is kind of ties into the topiary festival theme. So we wanted to have little topiaries on the tables. Yeah, so I found these pictures on Flickr of a woman who had done little topiary centerpieces of candy for a bridal shower she was throwing for her sister. And I thought, that's perfect. It was about, you know, 1.5, 2 feet tall with a topiary ball, and she'd covered it with candy. And our wedding colors were cerise, mandarin, and lime. So kind of a nice bright pink, bright orange, and lime. And so we wanted to find candy in those colors, but we ended up actually using silver, Hershey's Kisses. So just kind of getting an idea from someone else and then, you know, tailoring it to what was appropriate and what you had time for.
That's great. And you made those yourself. Yes. So that was, did you do anything else? Do it yourself? I mean, well, obviously the whole invitation.
Yeah,
right?
The invitation was, and it was actually it was a really cool booklet fold that we found online. So it's an 8-page booklet, but it's only one piece of paper, and so you fold
cool.
it.
And you have like a video clip, instructions on how to do that.
That's right. Yeah, we put ours up online, and people could print it out. But also, there's a video, of how to fold it. So we did that by hand. We had friends help us with the topiaries like, 2 nights before the wedding, I guess. And also the favors, we gave away bags of tea in organza bags for like this gourmet tea. It was really cool. And so
and
we
is
had
there a
them
reason?
Help us.
Well, is there a reason?
It was funny. You called it a lesbian. What was it? A lesbian wedding favor.
Tea.
What's
the
deal?
Lesbian
is that,
drink.
Is that,
well, it's sort of a stereotype that lesbians are big tea drinkers. We don't drink coffee. It's tea. You want some tea? So we thought, it would be a cute little something that people might actually use because so many favors, I think, just get tossed away. So, so we had a little card made that said, tea, the lesbian drink. Thanks for joining us at our celebration, Kate and Rose. So, so we put those together. We put the little two tea bags and an organza bag and then tied the tag on as well so people knew what it was about.
That's so nice. So tell us a little bit about your ceremony then because that sounds very special and a lot of people were included.
Yeah, it was it was pretty neat. Our friend Daniel was our officiant, and I suppose I should disclose that we actually ended up doing a civil ceremony here in BC because Daniel used to be an internet minister, but his internet ministry expired. So we did actually we did a civil ceremony here in BC a few weeks before we went out to Toronto for the big wedding, and our families knew that, so it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we processed in, and Daniel was, I think of him as our magician priest. So he had one of the big staffs, and he came in and said, this is going to be really fun and really exciting and really hilarious, but it's also really serious. So he set this great tone, and then the first half, the cabaret was two acts, and so the first act was very much more on the not so much serious side, but less on the light kind of raucous side. So during that time, we had readings from Microsurfs, the book that Rosemary mentioned at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we each did a pledge to each other. And then and that was intermixed with some of the readings. And we had a little bit of music, I think.
Yeah, we had
the first
few songs.
Yeah. And then we actually had the vows. And so we got up on stage with Daniel and our two brothers were our best men. Yeah. and then it was traditional in its form, but not in the words. So we did a vow exchange, then we did a ring exchange. But then I think one of the cool things that we did was we actually had our had parents who made a statement on behalf of the family. So Rosemary's parents stood up and said, as families, it's important to welcome, you're welcoming another family essentially into yours. And so they made a statement. And then we actually asked all our friends to stand up and they made a commitment on our behalf, which was really incredibly moving. And then we actually closed the ceremony and the first act off with a singing of O Canada, because same-sex marriage is legal in Canada. And that is, it's so meaningful to me and important to me that Canada has recognized that. And the room, 120 people singing O Canada with a lot of gusto was just, it was a really, really incredibly special moment. So that was the first half, and that was our wedding, kind of the more official part of it. And then the second half was dirty.
Yeah, that's when we had all the we had some poetry readings and some comedy and some more singing, but it was a little bit more on the party lusty side of things.
Uh-huh.
Where our mothers were shocked, but in a good way. Everyone just really got into it. Of course, everyone was a little tipsy by then, so people just really enjoyed laughing and crying, and we had some lip syncing to Total Eclipse of the Heart that was a big hit. And
so you had a DJ? You had a DJ?
We did not. We had a great pianist who kind of would play in between acts and that sort of thing. And then at the end of the night, we actually just did the, because we already had a sound system set up for the cabaret, we just plugged, I think it was my laptop in, and just sort of ran like a music list off of iTunes. And just, I had put a playlist together beforehand, so it wasn't just a random mix of things. But, no one was really over there. We just sort of let it run, and people just danced their faces off.
Is it? Yeah, actually, no, I think that's a really good point. We did have an MC, like a host for the
Yes.
cabaret, and our friend Sean, and he worked with the pianist in between acts. And actually, I've got to say, he was really invaluable in kind of pulling off the cabaret theme. Like, we told him about it when we asked him to be our MC, and so he would introduce the act and outro the act. And then he actually got out in the audience and interacted with them, and there was like a little game show, and he had brought some prizes to give away. And I tell you, he was really phenomenal in that whole thing, and it really tied the participation together, and it really kept the right mood, and he really kind of just shepherded that whole process. And it was really fantastic to have him do that. So that's, choosing your MC is a big deal, and we really were blessed with Sean.
And I think it's so nice that you were able to have an MC that knew you guys personally, that could kind of add that personal touch of actually being part of your lives versus, you go to a typical wedding and it's, the band leader or the DJ who's kind of running things and doesn't really have that personal pulse to what you're all about as a couple and your families and things like that, and could never pull it off as well as someone who you were personally connected to.
So tell us a little bit about how you made sure to document it.
We have lots of photos. I mean, we also have lots of friends who are bloggers and photographers, so they certainly covered it. But we did have a professional photographer on site, so she was there for 4 or 5 hours with an assistant, and we actually set up a photo booth. One of the things that we have been, frustrated with at other weddings is, people are beautifully dressed up. They spend a lot of time, but the pictures are, of them kind of, putting a bite of, pasta in their mouth. So we wanted to make sure our friends had an opportunity to have really beautiful photos taken. So we set up a photo booth. We had some props there. We had a few feather boas and some top
Top
hats.
hats.
And so people could go to the photo booth and they'd have their picture taken by one of the photographers. And they could be just themselves or their date or like a whole group of people we have squeezed into this little photo booth. Then they could wear props if they wanted to or not. And so that was really great. The pictures, the portraits that came out of that are really quite amazing. And then during the ceremony and during like the in-between acts, the photographers went around and took the more candid shots. One thing we didn't do though was prepare like a shot list for some of those candid shots. So we actually have a few family members who we don't have pictures of at all because for some reason they didn't make it over to the photo booth and then they just got missed in the candid shots. So, the second piece of advice is have a shot list and meet with your photographer. Beforehand, we met with her, but we didn't give her a shot list, and so she was great. But
Now,
that's prep we could have done.
did either of you work with any, any event planners? I mean, or did the two of you really primarily do it all by yourself?
I would say we did most of it ourselves. When we chose our caterer, our first kind of catering manager, she was really fantastic and got the spirit of the thing and made some great suggestions. We had a signature drink
What was it?
called. We called it the Cabaret Fizz, and it was
I think it was
pomegranate juice
and
and
champagne, and they
champagne.
had little pomegranate seeds in the champagne too, for texture.
Yeah,
Wait,
and it was really
yes, those
fantastic.
antioxidants, very important.
That's
That's
right.
right.
And so she was really great and had really great ideas about serving and ideas for if we wanted to add a little pizzazz to the waiters. She suggested putting like a colorful garter around their regular black uniforms, and she was wonderful. But then she ended up leaving the catering company like 2 weeks before our
Oh
wedding.
my goodness.
Oh, and it was, and that was probably the most stressful thing. And so then, but they assigned us a new person. She was like the head of of catering, and so she called us up. And this was, we were still in Vancouver at the time, trying. This was probably the only stressful long distance thing I would say was this catering issue. So we talked to her, and we spent a lot of time on the phone with her. As soon as we got to Toronto, we got there about a week early. We met with her, and everything was good to go. I showed up on site, the morning of, and she said, "Okay, great. Well, all your guys are here. I'll see you later." And I'm like, "What?" And it was a big shock to me that she was not going to be there to oversee everything. And I think a number of brides get surprised by that maybe your catering manager isn't going to be the person on site. And so check that and make sure. Because we had spent extra time bringing her up to speed, and the fact that she wasn't there was not great. So,
That's great advice. Excellent.
Now,
Yeah.
I have a question. How did you come up with the idea to do the 101 things to do poster?
Oh, that's a total rip-off of that book, 101 Things to Do Before You Die.
Right.
And we just knew that we had a lot of things going on at the cabaret. Like the photo booth was in a corner. We had a guest book, but we didn't want to do just the, sign your name thing. So we made kind of a scrapbooky thing where we had pictures cut out. Like we had space left for the photos, and then we wanted people to kind of sign their wedding advice, their like newlywed advice or marriage advice or whatever. Kind of like your high school yearbook, I guess. So we had a table set up for that. We wanted to make sure people got, a drink because we actually had two rooms. The cabaret hall was where the ceremony and the cabaret took place, but then there was an anteroom where the guest book table was set up and the photo booth, and then some of the drinks were in there. So we just kind of wanted to make sure people knew, all the different things they could do, and that they didn't miss anything, and that they had also, again, people kind of go to weddings and kind of wander around thinking, what should I do? Because it's a bunch of, it's 125 people who don't all know each other. So this was also to provide some, here you are, welcome, this is what you should do first kind of thing.
Right. I think people need a little direction every now and then.
I think they appreciate it. Yeah.
What was your favorite moment?
I think Canada was actually a really big highlight, like Kate talked about before. That was a really amazing moment to have sort of everyone, and we actually have some pictures of that as well. And we're just sort of, standing up and singing and sort of being all together. And I think it was a pretty incredible moment to feel so sort of loved and supported by so many of our friends and family. Like, it was just a really sort of genuine moment. And I just had this thought where I thought, wow, everyone here is fantastic. I love every person in this room. And how often is that going to happen in your life where you have such a big group of people who you're just so thrilled that they could be there with you and celebrate that with you? And that was a really pretty profound moment for me, for sure.
Yeah, definitely that, for sure, because it really was, again, 125 people singing something in unison with all their hearts was incredible. I also love too that the way the cabaret was set up, like I mentioned, we had audience style seating. There's pictures of this, but we were actually up at the front, and we had big puffy princess chairs, and so anytime anyone went up on stage, when they came down, they would stop off at our chairs and just give us a hug and a kiss and say something, and that was really neat to have even just those 5 seconds with a performer who had just given something of themselves to then just have that one quiet little personal moment with them. I thought was really wonderful, and that was a really great experience too.
Were there any?
Oh,
Oh, go ahead.
there's a third one. I have a third one. I Sean. Sean, our MC beforehand, he wanted to do a game show with our brothers about who knew Kate and Rose best. So he had emailed all our friends and asked for stories about us.
You didn't know about this.
He'd sort of asked, but we didn't understand what it was about. So exactly, we didn't know. So he had emailed all our friends to ask for stories about us. And so people had sent in things they remembered about, working with us or being at school with us or growing up with us or what have you. And so, of course, he would read it out without any names, and then our brothers would have to guess if it was Kate or if it was Rose. But hearing all those stories and having had people contribute to that and having thought about that, and there were, things that I hadn't thought about in years but had made an impact on other people. And most of them were, quite hilarious as well. But that too, that was a really neat experience. And
That's
it's sort of
very
a this is your life but without dying. So that was
that,
nice.
yeah, no, that is a nice thing. What any unexpected moments?
Oh, we were talking about this earlier, actually. The people who you don't think are going to be kind of interested in your wedding or interested in the planning all of a sudden show up and hold the whole thing together. Because, there's a lot going on when you get married. And you plan, you think about it. But when you're in the moment, and chances are you haven't had any sleep for about 4 days before, and all of a sudden a lot of decisions have to get made. And we had a couple people really kind of just stand up and jump in, and we weren't really expecting them to. And all of a sudden they said, we will take care of all these things for you. And it was a good kind of unexpected moment. It was really great.
What was your biggest challenge in this whole planning process?
Think the rose wasn't there till an hour before our wedding.
I happened just around this time, the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Company in Canada, was having this contest called Canada Writes. And it was for, writers, obviously, and they were having this national game show, and it was recording on the day of our wedding, and I happened to become a national finalist for this game show. And so Kate, because she's wonderful, wanted me to have this experience on our wedding day of going to the CBC studios and recording this game show. So that's what I did. So she went off to rehearsal in the morning for the cabaret, and I went to the CBC to to be on this national radio game show. But fortunately, I was out after the first round. So I was like, what the heck? And then I thought, you know what? I'm getting married today. And now I get to have my hair done. So that actually worked out really well. I went and I got to have big hair. But yeah, so that was a challenge trying to organize that so that Kate could kind of handle that by herself while I wasn't there. And she was very generous, obviously, to let me go ahead and
do that. Did you have a traditional cake cutting?
Oh yeah, we had a beautiful wedding cake. It was really made by a friend of ours who happened to be in the cake business, which we had no idea until we started talking about our wedding.
You know, I have to tell you, ladies, you have a good circle of friends there.
We really were so blessed. Yeah, and so it's a real fun cake. It's kind of one of those topsy-turvy cake designs where the layers aren't even. And it was beautiful. And we didn't do a ceremony, though. It wasn't. Our photographer, I think, actually grabbed us and said, come over and cut the cake.
Yeah, she was getting to the end of her time, and she was really good. She wanted to make sure we got all the sort of key pictures that you want to get at your wedding. So yeah, she came over. She goes, you know, it's time. It's cake time. I was like, cake time now? What? So we went over and she took snapped a few pictures of us as we sliced into it, and then that was the last we saw of it. Actually, it was devoured pretty quickly after that.
That's good. Yeah. You want your wedding cake to be eaten for sure.
So what would be your best advice for other couples?
Well, see, they make the shot list, check on your catering manager to make sure she's going to be there. Oh, the cash thing I think is important.
Oh, yeah. You want to make sure a lot of vendors want to get paid by check, not by credit card. Maybe you could make a deposit by credit card, but eventually they're going to want a check. And that was kind of we didn't realize that until a couple of weeks beforehand and had to move a lot of money around really quickly. So I would just suggest to figure out ahead of time who you need to pay on the day by check and make sure you have enough money in your account to cover that.
Yeah, and it really does matter to write those checks ahead of time because then you can just hand envelopes to people, and that was good.
There are so many planning tools out there today. I don't know. It's so overwhelming. How did you guys organize yourselves?
Well, we actually had this great Google Doc spreadsheet that we shared for the guest list, and it was the guest list that had everyone's address on it, and I eventually ended up using it to say, you know, who had RSVP'd and who hadn't, and then we used it to mark who'd given us gifts so that we could then send thank you cards. So it was this, you know, this one list kind of lasted us 8 months, and I still use it now because it's got everyone's address on it, so I use it when I'm sending people notes and Christmas gifts and stuff. But yeah, that was free and was easy to use, so I would definitely recommend the Google Docs.
And I think it's great if you're sharing it with someone, it's being updated because it's all kept online, so it's perfect. So if you're both, you know, entering names and responses, it's all being updated simultaneously. So I think that's
exactly.
That's a really great idea. And then we touched a little bit on your honeymoon. Talk to us a little bit about that.
I definitely recommend going on a honeymoon.
The longer the better, right?
Yes. Well,
and don't wait. Like, we've talked to so many couples who, like, maybe took the weekend off and then went right back to work and said, oh, we'll take a honeymoon next year. You're never going to take a honeymoon next year. Like, go. And it was, I think, the best decision we could have made. The plane actually left the next morning, and it was early, but we got up and made it to the airport, and we took 2 weeks. Friends recommended a month, but I don't think we could have been gone a month. But we definitely took 2 weeks. And it was the best time. We did an all-in-one resort, so...
What was it? Which weirdest thing?
What's it called?
It's called the Excellence Riviera Cancun.
Okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we found them through Air Canada. They're, I fly a lot on Air Canada, so we had a lot of points. So we did kind of a combo point pay cash thing. And it was really great. It was a nice resort. It was a good size. Some of the resorts down there are huge, and you have to use, like, golf carts to get around. But this was all walkable. 7 restaurants, all inclusive, and really wonderful people. But we slept for the first 2 days.
Yeah, it was the sexiest thing. I'm sure everyone thought we were getting up to all kinds of shenanigans, and we basically were just knocked out for 2 days straight.
Yeah.
It was pretty blissful, I have to say. and the other thing about the resort, it was great. They didn't allow kids, so it was actually really quiet. It was kind of a couple's retreat.
I think that's good to keep
nice.
In mind, too. Yeah. I think that when people plan their honeymoon, they should definitely inquire about that.
Yeah, and some people, you know, if couples are getting married maybe for the second time and they already have kids and they are okay with that, then that's something you should definitely check. But if you want a quiet, kind of private honeymoon, make sure your resort doesn't have kids.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, you said about leaving right away. I think when people wait, it's, you know, it takes kind of that honeymoon feeling away from it. Then it just becomes a vacation. And I think a lot of that is true with kids. It's, you know, when you honeymoon, it's about you as a couple. Let's face it. You know, anything else, really, it's no longer a honeymoon. It's just a vacation, you know. So I think it's important as a couple to be able to experience that honeymoon, the two of you, without those distractions, so that you can decompress. Because let's face it, not only were you physically exhausted from the whole wedding process, but you're emotionally exhausted as well. It's one of the most emotional periods of time that you'll go through, and you know, mentally and physically, I think you need to you know, rejuvenate and be able to relax and you know, just solidify your relationship as, you know, as a married couple.
Yeah, and I think really to just debrief on the whole experience, like I think we took our cards with us. Like people brought cards to the wedding, even if they had given the gift online, and they had written some nice things. So I think we took all those with us, and we had a DVD that one of the performers couldn't end up making it to the cabaret, but he made a DVD for us because he had an audition in New York, and so we took that with us, and it was just a real nice kind of, you know, let's you know, think about these things and kind of, yeah, digest them and just have some quiet time together. So it was really great.
Cool. It really sounds wonderful.
I wish I was one of your friends. I would have loved to have been.
You know,
Exactly,
it's
because I,
funny.
you know what? It's a having going to a great party.
Well, that's the problem with our job, because we meet all these great couples after they've been married, and you know, it's like we just get to
Exactly.
hear about it. We just get to hear about it. It really sounds wonderful,
No, we
and
hope all of our couples realize that it is all about, you know,
it's about the connection, it's about
yeah.
the love, and it's about, you know, bringing your friends and family into the fold, which it's just so obvious that you did. And I have to tell you, it's, you know, you want everyone wants their wedding to be memorable, and I think you want it to be memorable for the right reasons. And you know,
Yes.
everything that I've heard has been all the right reasons. You know, you're very much in love, you're very much connected. And you want to, you know, like when you said, you know, that everyone in that room you loved at that moment, you know, you had them all together. And the reality of the situation is you will never, ever, ever have them all in the same place at the same time again. It's truly a singular moment. And, you know, to be able to make it so much more special by what you did for that moment, I think is just wonderful to be able to do for yourselves and for your friends and family.
Yep, totally agree.
Well,
Totally agree.
Yeah, we felt really lucky.
Well, it's really special, and we appreciate you sharing all of this great information with us and with our listeners, and we'll of course have links to all of your great websites and blogs, and people can check out all of the great information, see great pictures of your wedding, and we appreciate that. If anyone out there has any questions for us, comments. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is feedback@thewpn.com. That's feedback@thewpn.com. Or you can always call our listener hotline, which is 800-882-1259, and you can leave us a voicemail there, and we'll be sure to answer your questions. But again, we appreciate you taking the time to share all of this wonderful information with our listeners.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you so much.
Great. Well, you've been listening to Newlywed Cast, only available on Wedding Podcast Network. I'm Robert Allen.
I'm Holly Ehrlich.
And we'll see you next time.